88% of the workweek is spent communicating, so it's important your team does it well. Enter Grammarly. Grammarly's AI helps teams communicate clearly the first time. It shows you how to make words resonate with your audience, helps with brainstorming, and lets you instantly create and revise drafts in just one click. Join over 70,000 teams and 30 million people who use Grammarly to move work forward. Go to grammarly.com/enterprise to learn more. Grammarly. Enterprise ready AI.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Maybe you've been thinking about therapy. You realize a therapist could help you work things out, but
I can't afford it. Therapy is expensive.
Talkspace is different. Talkspace is one of only a few online mental health providers that takes insurance. Average copays are only $15.
I can afford $15.
And most insured members pay nothing.
Nothing? No copays at all? With insurance, I could see a therapist and I might not have to pay anything out of pocket?
That's right. Nothing should stand in your way of getting support from a caring, licensed therapist. And if you don't have insurance, no problem. You can pay out of pocket for a lower cost than in-person therapy. And because you meet your therapist online, you can schedule appointments for whenever and wherever it's most comfortable for you.
Wow, I'm feeling better already.
You can pay for Talkspace with insurance or get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Good afternoon, my conscious co-creators. Welcome to another edition of the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. I am very, very pleased that you are all here with me today. I hope you enjoyed a little bit of a break that we had last couple of weeks. Last week we had a show, but you know, earlier this month we had a break for 4th of July. And so you didn't get the me-only show. And so today we're doing a me-only show. So just you and me, please be active in the comment section of the live streams. Let me know what you're thinking about. Let me know how you feel about the stuff I talk about today. We'll incorporate that into the show, I promise you. All right. So, of course, as always, I'm starting off with a blog post from a couple of years ago. It's kind of funny, like I could have written this like a couple of weeks ago. But today's blog post is entitled, "When We Can Laugh at Our Pain, We Find New Freedom." There are so many aspects of life we take seriously. Pain, death, and suffering are very somber experiences. Usually we feel there is no way to make things feel better. Yet we actually do have a choice. How we approach these situations can make all the difference in the world. Sometimes when we are engaged with healing work, our traumas and our pain come to the surface. So we think our healing process has to be something difficult and sober. We think there is no other way to approach it. Yet if we bring a sense of humor, fun, and play to it, we can make the healing process so much easier for ourselves. Yes, it can be challenging to see a painful experience through the lens of levity. And when we are able to joke about it, laugh at it, tease ourselves about it, we take the power away from it being able to hurt us again. We cannot change what happened in the past. And we can say it is true that we felt, and we can say it is true what we felt at the time. To continue to feel that pain in a painful way is a choice. We can make a different choice, and we can choose to see it as something comical or slapstick, to laugh at our own pain is sometimes the best medicine. Like seeing a comedian slip on a banana peel. It helps the pain and trauma to lighten its grip on our presence. It allows us to experience healing and have fun at the same time. There is no rule or universal law that says we have to continue to suffer and to be serious about our pain. We can make up stories about what happened to inject humor into the situation, or change our existing stories to make them funnier. For ultimately, it is not about what we experienced in the past. It is about what we want to experience right here and right now. Do we want to keep crying, or do we want to start laughing? This is a question we can always ask ourselves when we find we are wallowing in our misery, to remind us that we have a fundamental choice. We can continue to allow the pain from our past to have a hold over us, or we decide that we have suffered enough and it is time to start enjoying life more. For if we can learn to laugh at our pain and suffering, then we can truly live a joyful life, a joyful and exuberant life. Maybe not all at once. Yet if we can do it even a little, we have made a great breakthrough. So where can you learn to laugh at the pain in your past? Is there even one small pain or trauma that you can practice honestly laughing at it? So, I wish I could remember exactly what motivated me to write this. I have a sneaking suspicion it's about an experience I had. My wife and I had a little journey with a close friend, and we were trying something new, and our friend in the beginning, we were being quiet, kind of dropping into the experience, and I started getting up in my head and criticizing myself and being down on myself and kind of suffering a bit. And then our friend who was with us, and we didn't know it at the time, but he started having these really uncomfortable feelings himself, and he started getting really anxious. But what he did was, and it was beautiful, is he got up and he started acting like a crazy person, and it was hysterical. We were in stitches for like 3 or 4 hours. We started laughing together so hard. And I have a feeling this all came out of that experience where my wife and I talked about it afterwards, and how, especially when he related to us that he was going through his own difficulty, and he was just too anxious to stay with it. And so he just started coming up with this stuff. And you know, if I tell you the stuff he did, you'd probably think, what are you talking about? That's not funny. But to us at the time, it was hysterical. And it broke the energy of the moment. And instead of me being down on myself, instead of him being all anxious, we were laughing and laughing and laughing to the point that my sides hurt. And so when me and my wife talked about it afterwards, it was really a big lesson for me that, you know, we take our pain very seriously because it hurts. It's uncomfortable. And so we tend to stick with that uncomfortableness instead of really taking it as an opportunity to reframe the pain into something funny, And sometimes it's a stretch, and sometimes there's absolutely nothing funny about it at all. Like when something tragic happens to a child, it's really hard to find something funny about that. But when it's something happening to us, or something in our own life, or our own childhood, there's often a way to try and get in there and reframe it. And the reason why I say, like, I could have written this recently was because my wife and I saw this amazing show, a musical show at Lincoln Center a few weeks ago called The Keep Going Song. And it was this couple of musicians, and they started off the woman talking about how the night they got called up and asked if they wanted to do a performance at Lincoln Center was the night her brother died. And she started telling stories about her brother. They started singing about it. And the whole night, in a way, it wasn't just about death, but it was about loss and grief. But the way they made the songs about it, the way they talked about it, it lightened up everything around the grief. So I guess it was a reminder that loss doesn't have to feel heavy, that pain doesn't have to feel heavy, that our trials and tribulations, that at the moment we're going through them, we feel are the most god-awful things. But, you know, once we've gotten through it, the way we continue to carry it through to the rest of our lives, that is a choice. And that's what this whole experience really highlighted for me, is that how we choose to feel about the things we've been through in life is ultimately a choice. We can choose to see the absurdity in it. Now, look, when the pain is too close, I'm not saying this is easy, and I'm not saying that we should bypass the pain. I'm not saying that we should, you know, use this as a way to escape and not feel uncomfortable feelings. But what I'm saying is, we don't have to keep suffering and suffering and suffering for years and decades after what happened. And given that today's show is all about healing our core wounds, perhaps I'll be able to tell some stories that at the time and when I went through them, they weren't so funny, but now maybe I can find a way to find some humor in them and laugh at them. So I'm just curious, for all you out there listening, whether on Facebook or YouTube or LinkedIn or Twitch, do you have some pain that you've been carrying around with you that the actual incident is long over? But you're still carrying the grief, you're still carrying the sorrow, you're still carrying anger and the sadness around it with you. That maybe you can find a way to tell the story to make it humorous, to make it funny, to make it even more absurd than it was, so that you can laugh at it. And this is a great exercise to do with friends. You know, to call up a story from our past and retell it to our friend, but tell it in a way that makes it just so ridiculous you can't help but laugh at it. Now, like, I'm not saying you can do this with everything. And as I said before, if something's very close, it's more difficult to do it. The more distance there is, the easier it is to do this. But even just practicing it on some little thing, on some little painful moment, And actually, a lot of stand-up comedians, this is exactly what they do. They call out the craziness of society in a way that makes us just laugh at it, even though it's like, oh my God, how can this be true? So it's kind of like learning to be a stand-up comedian about our own life. A great example of this, I was watching that long ago. The story about Weird Al Yankovic, the movie with Daniel Radcliffe in it. And, you know, his life is just one absurdity after another. And even though there's some really painful moments in it, you just can't help but laugh through most of the movie, even though there's some really, like, you could tell painful, hard moments for him, for the Weird Al in it. Now, Weird Al is not everyone's cup of tea, I know. But the movie about him was actually pretty well done and pretty funny. Maybe not the whole movie, but a lot of the movie. So it's a great example of how to take our pain. And I think that's what Weird Al Yankovic did with his whole act and routine over the years, is he took his pain and he turned it into something funny. And that lifts everybody's spirit, not just our own. So I would love to hear from you. I would love to hear what kinds of painful moments you can take and make a funny story around. What, you know, tragic moments in your life can you see in a different way so that maybe you can't laugh at it, but maybe you can make fun of it? Maybe you can point to the absurdity around it so that carrying it is not so heavy and living with it is not the end of the world for us. So that's my blog post. When we laugh at our pain, we find new freedom. So let me know what pain you can laugh at. And of course, you can always find my blog post at talkradio.nyc/blog or on my personally branded website, theconsciousconsultant.com. And so when we come back, no guests today, nobody to introduce. It's just going to be you and me, and I'm going to be talking about something that came up this past weekend or inspired by what happened this past weekend, talking about healing our core wounds and learning how, when we really dive into it with an open heart and with compassion, that there's a way to heal even the most painful wounds in our life. So I hope you'll stick around for it. Thank you. You are listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. We do this every Thursday, except on holidays, 12 noon to 1 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on talkradio.nyc and all over social media, YouTube, Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitch. We'll get back on Twitter. We're not on Twitter at the moment. I don't know. Twitter changed something, X changed something, and we got an update setting. So we will be right back with the rest of the show in just a moment.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant. And on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a high-achieving, growth-oriented leader? Are you interested in developing your authentic leadership while creating a healthy, inclusive workplace? Hi, I'm Dr. Mira Bronku, host of the hard skills on talkradio.nyc at 5 p.m. Eastern on Tuesdays, where we discuss how leaders develop the hard skills needed to make a greater impact. We interview experts, have live coaching, and tackle these challenges. Listen to The Hard Skills on Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a business owner? Do you want to be a business owner? Do you work with business owners? Hi, I'm Stephen Fry, your small and medium-sized business or SMB guy, and I'm the host of the new show, Always Friday. While I love to have fun on my show, we take those Friday feelings of freedom and clarity to discuss popular topics on the minds of SMBs today. Please join me and my various special guests on Friday at 11 a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
And welcome back to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. Today is one of those shows. It's just me, no guests. So it's me and you. So please share your comments, post to the live stream. Let me know how you feel about what we talk about today, which is about healing our core wounds. So this is one of those episodes where I guess I need to get really vulnerable with everyone. To give you the example of what I mean by healing core wounds. What is a core wound? Well, the majority of the time, a core wound is something that we experienced at a very young age that tends to define a lot of our life. Sometimes we're aware of them, sometimes we're not. And there are different levels of core wounds. You know, there are some that are more really at the deepest part of ourselves, and others that might be a little more superficial. So as an example, one of my core wounds was always being compared to my brother and sister. My older brother, who was 8 years older than me, he was the genius of the family. He skipped two grades. He skipped a grade in elementary school and in junior high school. I think he graduated high school at 16. He was always an A-plus student. He was captain of the chess team. He went on in graduate school. He made the papers by playing 12 ranked chess players simultaneously without looking at the boards. He won 10 games, he tied one game, and he lost one game. And he said he only lost the one game because he lost track of one pawn. I mean, the man is brilliant. So kind of growing up with an older brother like that does not do wonders for your self-esteem. And then there was my sister. There is my sister, who's 4 years older than me, who I love dearly, and we're very close. But it was quite obvious when we were kids that she was mom's favorite. My mom always loved girls more than boys. So there was a lot of jealousy there, a lot of fighting. And, you know, when you're a child, you can kind of feel it, even when it's not overt. You can feel when a parent likes another sibling more than you. You can feel when you're being compared to others. I mean, it's usually pretty overt, but it's fairly obvious. So when that happens, it does create a wound of sorts. It does cause us to see ourselves as less than. And I've carried that wound through my life quite a bit. And it caused me to make some ridiculous choices and decisions and not valuing myself. And that causes a lot of pain. And because our wounds, our core wounds, are often caused by other people, it can be challenging to heal those wounds because it's quote unquote about what the other person did to us. And the truth is, it's not actually what they did to us. I mean, unless it's something like physical abuse, then yes, absolutely. Sexual abuse, absolutely. Verbal, emotional abuse, absolutely. But lots of times it's about how we interpret what they did to us. It's about the story we create around what we experienced. So what was the story I created around being compared to my brother and sister throughout childhood? Not good enough, not lovable, not worthy. Just not worthy of having the good things in life. And so I made a lot of choices and I did a lot of things through my life where I put myself last. I put my own needs behind everyone else's, where I didn't really take care of myself emotionally, physically, mentally, until I was really able to see what was going on. And it's an interesting thing when we start doing our deep healing work, that when we really start to look at why am I the way I am, why do I feel the way I do, and what can I do to change that? That so much of our wounding causes this lack of self-worth, this feeling of unworthiness, of not being good enough, of not being lovable. Now, it's quite interesting. Different people respond to not feeling being lovable different ways. For me, I was the rebel. I checked out. Not only was I not an A student, I was a B student. And when I made it to high school, I started smoking pot, doing drugs. And, you know, I did all the things my brother and sister didn't do. And I just rebelled against it. I'm like, okay, well, you're going to put me in that kind of box. You're gonna not value me, then you know what? I'm not gonna listen to what you say. And you know, it's part of my personality. Of course, being the youngest is usually the rebel. You know what they say? Birth order. And I read a book about birth order. Oh my God! It must have been like 40 years ago, and there actually is a lot. So if you have siblings, I would look for a book around birth order, and I can't remember which one it was, but there are several books on it, you know, about, you know, what happens when you're the youngest child, what happens when you're the middle child, what happens when you're the eldest child. It's really very valuable and very insightful. So I highly recommend checking it out and getting some information on that. But me being the youngest, I was the rebel. And I was like, you're going to give me a hard time? I'm going to do the opposite. Tell me to do X, I'm going to do Y. So since I was always being compared to them, my brother and sister, and I could never live up to that standard because it just wasn't me, I went the complete opposite direction. I'm going to be the black sheep of the family, and I'm going to do what whatever, my parents tell me not to do. I'm going to do whatever society says not to do. And I just went in the opposite direction, which is also not good, because then you make some really poor choices, because then you're not doing something because you want to do it. You're doing something to do the opposite of what other people want you to do. So that can kind of get silly. I hope you can see that. I hope you can relate to this, that when we do something out of a desire to do the opposite of what someone says, we're not truly honoring ourselves. We're just being reactive. We're just reacting to a situation, saying, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do something else. And we're not really thinking, we're not being present about what's really good for us. And that's why a lot of teenagers get into so much trouble. And that's why a lot of teenagers end up doing stupid things that can hurt themselves, that sometimes they can die from, because they're not truly looking at what they want, what their heart desires. They're looking just to do something different than what their parents say. Now, sometimes, all they are is just in so much pain and they just don't know how to deal with it. But when we're in that much pain, what we really need to do is reach out for help and not just push it away and not just numb ourselves to it, which is what I did as a teenager, what a lot of teenagers do. So that core wound of being compared to a brother and sister who I was not, that's a core wound. Do I still deal with the fallout from that? Yeah, I'm sure I absolutely do. Am I much more conscious of it than I've been in the past? Absolutely. Do I still compare myself to others? Yeah, I probably do. Because I was just a habit, because I was compared to other people. Do I do it a lot less and I'm a lot more selective about who I compare myself to? Yes, absolutely. So, as we go through life and we become more aware of our core wounds, we do raise our consciousness.
The Humana Honor Medicare Advantage Plan gives you $1,860 back each year in your Social Security check. Choose coverage that helps you keep more money in your pocket. Learn more at gethumana.com. Humana, a more human way to healthcare. The Part B Give Back benefit pays part or all of your Part B premium, and the amount may change based on the amount you pay for Part B. Limitations and restrictions may apply. Humana is a Medicare Advantage HMO and PPO organization with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in any Humana plan depends on contract renewal.
Just got a free coffee with my EarnIFI points.
Your what?
The points I get with the new EarnIFI app from BP and Amoco. I got 250 for signing up and more every time I fill up or buy anything in the C-store.
Oh, can you use points for fuel?
Of course.
And discounts and deals?
On anything.
Oh, like chips?
Mm-hmm.
Sodas?
You got it.
The actual slushy machine.
Only what's actually for sale. But you do get double the points for the first 90 days. Just go to EarnIFIRewards.com to download the app.
Available at participating locations only. App content is subject to change.
And we do learn to not always react to them the same way that we've reacted to them as children. But that doesn't mean they still don't live within us. They still don't define us. Is that a bad thing? I don't know. Maybe that's what makes us who we are today. So it's time for us to take a break. When we come back, I'll kind of talk about why this topic came up for this week. And share a couple of more core wounds. And I would love to hear yours. I'd love to hear what's your experience with your core wound. And if you need any support with it, post it in the comments. Say, hey, Sam, I'm dealing with this core wound and I just don't know what to do. I'll be more than happy to share my perspective on it. So you're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. No guest today. It's just me and you. So please chime in on the live streams. And we will be right back in just a moment to talk more about healing our core wounds.
Hey, everybody, it's Tommy D, the Nonprofit Sector Connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host a program, Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on talkradio.nyc.
Were you an essential worker during the pandemic? If you needed to learn stages of epilepsy, did you depend on advocates? Did you use new innovations to cope with mental and neurological issues? Maintaining high quality of life and keeping good mental health are what we all strive for. I'm Frank R. Harrison, host of Frank About Health, and each week, top healthcare influencers, professionals, and innovators answer these questions and more. Stay tuned on Thursdays at 5 p.m. on talkradio.nyc, and I will continue to be Frank About Health with all of you.
Are you a business owner? Do you want to be a business owner? Do you work with business owners? Hi, I'm Stephen Fry, your small and medium-sized business or SMB guy, and I'm the host of the new show, Always Friday. While I love to have fun on my show, we take those Friday feelings of freedom and clarity to discuss popular topics on the minds of SMBs today. Please join me and my various special guests on Friday at 11 a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
And welcome back. So I wanted to touch into, and I'll touch on kind of why this topic happened to come up this week. Because, I was trying to think about what to talk about. And my wife and I just held a retreat this past weekend in the Hamptons, which was wonderful. It's wonderful. Something really interesting happened this weekend. That was really the first time, which was, well, normally when we do a retreat or ceremony, I talk a little bit in the beginning just to try and bring the energy together of the group. And the night before, we went out to the Hamptons the night before, and I had a hard time sleeping. And it just kind of came to me what to talk about. So I talked about the first night, because it was two nights retreat. I talked about sort of the conversation with my dad, and then the second night about my mom. And basically it was about sort of the last major interaction I had with each of them and how and the first one, talking about my dad, was really about how he was so cold, emotionally unavailable, how he just wasn't there, in a way, for me, and how much that hurt, and how much that really affected me. And I don't need to go into the details at this moment, but I'm happy, probably we'll share another time on another show. But how, like, the last conversation I had with him before he passed away was just a very cold, unfeeling conversation that just left me emotionally devastated. And then 3 or 4 months later, he passed away from a massive heart attack. This is when I was a teenager, when I was in high school. And the second night, I contrasted that with my mom, who lived a long time. She died at about 99 and a half, about a year before the pandemic hit. And before I went out to see her, my mom had moved to Israel when she was 91 to live close to my sister and my sister's kids, because my wife and I don't have any children. And they got her to move to an assisted living facility there because she really needed to go into an assisted living facility, but was very resistant to it. But she found one in Israel she liked, and that we convinced her to go there, which I got to hand it to my mom at 91, moving to another country where she didn't speak Hebrew. She spoke Yiddish, but she didn't speak Hebrew. That takes quite a lot. And I kind of feel like part of the reason why she made it to 99 and a half was because she moved to Israel when she was 91. Because if she had stayed here, I don't really think she would have made it that long. But I had done a ceremony I participated in a ceremony the weekend before I went out to Israel, when I had a feeling it might be the last time I was going to see her. In those last couple of years when she was alive, I'd gone out to Israel like 6 times. It was the most I've ever traveled to Israel in my life. And my wife really encouraged me to go and talk to her. So I did this ceremony. And in this ceremony, I was finally able to see my mom and my dad as a woman and a man, and not just as a mother and a father. And that being able to separate that, being able to see like, hey, my mom's not just a mom, my dad's not just a dad, they're human beings. They're a man and a woman who've had their own experiences, who were really just doing the best they could with what they had at the time. And given the traumas that they suffered, given what they had to deal with in their life, given what was acceptable and normal in society at the time, they really just did the best they could. And so being able to see that, being able to separate that, that they're not just parents, they're human beings, they're individuals. It helped me to have so much compassion for them. And it helped me that last time I saw my mom, to have a conversation with her where I apologized for all the grief I had caused her, because believe me, I did cause her grief. I felt I was justified as a young teenager, as a man, but I really just owned my end of the relationship and told her how much I appreciated all she had done for me and loved me. And I loved her. And being my mom and being true to who she was, she didn't say a word. All she did was just nod her head. And you know what? That was perfect. That was more than enough. And so I know there are a lot of people out there who didn't have the chance to have that conversation with their parents before they died. My wife didn't, because her mom died unexpectedly on the operating table. She had fallen and broken her hip, and they were doing a hip replacement, and there was a blood clot that went to her lung, and she died. She never came out of the anesthesia. And lots of times we don't get to say goodbye. We don't get to say the things we want to say to a loved one before they pass. And that can cause a lot of trauma, a lot of wounding. However, even if we don't have a chance to say it to them when they're alive, we can say it to them after the fact. We can write them a letter. even though they're no longer alive. We can say a prayer. There's all kinds of ways we can communicate. Because in the end, it's not really about the other person hearing what we have to say. It's about us being able to say it. It's about us being able to express it. And so I told these stories over the weekend. And I don't know why, it's just what came to me. And I saw that for most of the people there, it really helped them to go deeper in their process, helped them to really touch upon something that was really core. So I know that when we're truly vulnerable, when we can share our most painful moments, we actually help others to heal and ourselves. Because being able to share these stories is something I never would have done in the past. I would have kept it private, locked up, kept inside. But the more I can share these stories, the more I can share about my core wound, maybe that can help one person out there. Maybe there's somebody listening to this episode, listening to this show, that hears what I'm saying and is touched by it and can relate to it and can allow them to just be present to it in a way that it can serve them instead of tear them down. Now, healing our core wounds is not easy. It's oftentimes not fun. It's very uncomfortable being present to the emotions. But if the energy is there, if we're holding on to it, the only way to heal it is to feel it. I guess that was an angel giving me a thumbs up. The only way to heal it is to feel it. And that's the thing. We often don't want to feel these painful moments. We often don't want to go there because we don't want to be a blubbering mess on the floor. Sometimes that's exactly what we need to be. To unwind, to release, to let go of the energy we've been holding around these stories and these incidences for so long. So, I talked about my dad's core, my core wound with my dad. I didn't really tell you what the core wound is with my mom. So when we come back, I still got a little bit of time. I want to wrap this up, but yeah, let me kind of share with you what that core wound around my mom was, why it took me so long to come to the place of being able to forgive her and have compassion for her around it. So everyone, please stay tuned. You're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, and we'll be right back to wrap up the show in just a moment.
Are you a high-achieving, growth-oriented leader? Are you interested in developing your authentic leadership while creating a healthy, inclusive workplace? Hi, I'm Dr. Mira Bronku, host of The Hard Skills on talkradio.nyc at 5 p.m. Eastern on Tuesdays, where we discuss how leaders develop the hard skills needed to make a greater impact. We interview experts, have live coaching, and tackle these challenges. Listen to The Hard Skills on Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
Hey, everybody, it's Tommy D, the nonprofit sector connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host a program, Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time right here on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
So we're talking today about healing our core wounds, which is not an overly exciting topic, but it's an important one. And so I talked about my core, one of my wounds with my dad, and there are others. I mean, you know, there are always multiple things. It's never just one thing. And with my mom, I didn't really touch upon what that core wound is. My mom being a child of the Depression era was very typically very frugal, very careful with how she spent money. And because she was so frugal, there was this story I made around it, that money was more important to her than I was. And I even remember, you know, I don't think I've told this story on the show, but I've told this story to people before, that I remember being a little kid. I mean, I don't know how old, four or five years old, you know, small enough to kind of fit in the child seat of a shopping cart at the supermarket. And, you know, we're buying food. I was with my mom. She's buying food. And, you know, they had the little racks with like toys hanging down. And there was this like little race car with a track, you know, wound up in a plastic bag with a cardboard thing on top. And I was like, oh, mommy, can you get that for me? And she looks at it and she looks, and there's the price was written on the plastic bag. And she poked her finger in the plastic bag where the price was written. So you could only see the change part, not the dollar amount. So instead of it being, I don't know how much it was, I'm just going to guess like $2.99 or something, or $3.99. It was just 99 cents. She made it look like. And even you're a little kid, you kind of know that's not the right thing to do. And we got to the checkout counter and the cashier's ringing things up. And I was super embarrassed. And I thought the cashier was going to say something to my mom, but she just rung it up as she saw it. And so my mom got me the little toy, but I was so embarrassed by what she did. And that's like my earliest childhood memory of something like that. And she would do things like that over and over again. And the story I made around that was that I'm not good enough, that I'm not worthy, that money is more important to her than I was. And so I would do things when I got older that would end up costing her money. You know, it's like I had to do something for her to spend more money on me to prove that she loved me. Eventually I grew out of that and she actually ended up doing quite a lot for me after I got married and as an adult, and once I kind of healed my relationship with her. But that was my mom, and what I was able to see when I was able to see her as a woman and not as a mother was that she was raising three kids. She always said my dad never gave her enough money to run the household. She went back to being a, she started working for the city as a school teacher when I was, you know, old enough to go to school myself to make extra money. And she was trying to do her best to make ends meet. She was always clipping coupons and always being very frugal. And so she, see, there are two ways to interpret it. Money's more important to her than I am, or she's being as frugal as possible so that she can give us the best that she can give us, or give us the most she can give us. So it's not easy to unwind years and years and years of seeing her do things like that. And I'm just giving you like the earliest example I can remember. She did many things like that. And the story I made around it totally did not serve me. And it was only until I could really see her individually and see also the challenges that she had been through, losing her sister when she was 13 years old, seeing her parents go through having cancer, first one and then the other. Not so easy. Not easy at all. So, you know, it's kind of funny how sometimes our biggest wounding comes from the stories that we make up around an incident as opposed to the incident itself. And so I was able to unwind, and I'm sure there's more work there. Believe me, I'm not saying I'm perfect. I'm not saying that like I've got everything together. But as I was able to tell myself a different story around these incidences, as I was able to tell a different story about why she did what she did, the energy around it shifted, it lightened. So when we're dealing with these core wounds, and in particular, it's normally the wounds around our parents. When we're dealing with these core wounds, being able to step back, being able to view the whole situation from a bigger context, taking in all of the information we can, really helps to see things differently. There's that old expression that only hurt people hurt people. And that our core wounds, where we've been hurt, come from people who are hurt themselves, who are not that conscious necessarily about what they're doing. The only way to unwind that is to take it to a bigger context, to remove the personal stuff from it and see it for what it is, a man or a woman acting like a man or a woman who's had unique circumstances, who's dealing with their own struggles and their own pain, and just doing the best they can. And sometimes the best they can do is pretty bad. So I don't know if these stories help or not. I don't know if you can relate to these or not. But I hope there's some little piece in all I've said this hour that serves you, that supports you. And I'd love to hear from you. So please comment on the videos, the live streams. Feel free to send me an email, sam@theconsciousconsultant.com, and let me know. And let me know if me being vulnerable is valuable to you, if it helps. And should I continue to do this with my me-only shows in the future, or should I try something different? I'd love to hear from you, because I do this show to serve you. So that's the show for this week. I'm wishing all of my loyal listeners and all the beautiful people out there tuning in the best that life has to offer, to know that even the most difficult situations you can get through. And we'll be back next week with a guest, so you don't have to listen to me ramble for an hour. So take care, everyone. Remember, if you missed any part of today's show, you can always catch the replay on talkradio.nyc. And you can always find the Conscious Consultant Hour on all the podcasting platforms. And if you're really enjoying the podcast, please leave a review, give us some stars, let other people know. Don't keep us a secret. Take care, everyone. We'll talk to you next week.
Uplift, educate, empower.
Were you an essential worker during the pandemic? If you needed to learn stages of epilepsy, did you depend on advocates? Did you use new innovations to cope with mental and neurological issues? Maintaining high quality of life and keeping good mental health are what we all strive for. I'm Frank R. Harrison, host of Frank About Health. And each week, top healthcare influencers, professionals, and innovators answer these questions and more. Stay tuned on Thursdays at 5 p.m. on talkradio.nyc, and I will continue to be frank about health with all of you.
Are you a business owner? Do you want to be a business owner? Do you work with business owners? Hi, I'm Stephen Fry, your small and medium-sized business, or SMB guy, and I'm the host of the new show, Always Friday. While I love to have fun on my show, we take those Friday feelings of freedom and clarity to discuss popular topics on the minds of SMBs today. Please join me and my various special guests on Friday at 11 a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Hey, everybody, it's Tommy D, the nonprofit sector connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host the program Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your Conscious Consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a high-achieving, growth-oriented leader? Are you interested in developing your authentic leadership while creating a healthy, inclusive workplace? Hi, I'm Dr. Mira Branku, host of The Hard Skills on talkradio.nyc at 5 p.m. Eastern on Tuesdays, where we discuss how leaders develop the hard skills needed to make a greater impact. We interview experts, have live coaching, and tackle these challenges. Listen to The Hard Skills on Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
The Humana Honor Medicare Advantage Plan gives you $1,860 back each year in your Social Security check. Choose coverage that helps you keep more money in your pocket. Learn more at GetHumana.com. Humana, a more human way to healthcare. The Part B Give Back benefit pays part or all of your Part B premium, and the amount may change based on the amount you pay for Part B. Limitations and restrictions may apply. Humana is a Medicare Advantage HMO and PPO organization with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in any Humana plan depends on contract renewal.
Most tax pros leave a message.
It's Jane. I'm moving on to a TurboTax expert who beat your price. Adam Devine, tell him how I feel.
Hey, tax pro, she's been thinking twice. Best believe TurboTax will beat your price. This is a tax break.
Switch to a TurboTax Live expert and we'll beat what you paid your pro last tax season. Make the switch at TurboTax.com/beat your price. TurboTax full service only. Sign up by 12/20/2024 and file by 4/1/2025. Full details at TurboTax.com/beat your price.